This is Late Night Pacific Northwest, episode number 19. And we've had a hiatus. I actually have another episode on the back burner I haven't edited yet because we had a lot of technical difficulties with dogs screaming in the background. So I got a little lazy and didn't want to edit it. And then you never may not hear episode 18 ever, but you'll hear this episode. So we're going to skip 18 until I can get that edited because of how many flubs we had with crazy dogs in the background. I'm just throwing that out there so all of you know that.
Better than crazy kids in the background.
Yeah, crazy, like going to the Native movie theater. Don't bring your kids in late at night. Why? Because they scream and they don't stop screaming. How can these adults actually watch a movie with their kids screaming? It makes no sense.
Okay, so tonight we're going to go from David Icke to Billy Corgan.
Yeah,
and interesting subject to some people out there, at least 7% of Americans who also somewhat registered to vote that their belief in the reptilians. Not my personal belief, but interesting nonetheless.
It's an interesting theory. I don't necessarily believe it, but I mean, excuse me there. That was like a baby burp, like a dog burp.
And we're probably not going to bring anything new to the table except maybe our own.
Well, it's really hard to bring anything new. Yeah. I mean, we just got to rehash it. And it's something I really feel strongly about because I was watching David Icke today. And I'm a fan of David Icke. And I'm sure not a lot of people are because people probably think he's crazy a little bit. And when I first heard about him, I thought he was a little crazy too. But
he's been featured on Viceland on Vice TV. It's a TV, HBO shoot-off.
Yeah.
It's not a bad piece on him. So reptilians are also known as the lizard people, replicatoids, Saurians, and Draconians. Yeah, they have many different names, and they go or exist throughout history as, according to some depictions. If you believe in some of the theories that they go all the way back to the ancient times, at least to 200,000 years ago. Egyptians have what they consider some worship of the god Seti, who is one of the snakehead god and has a lot to do with their beliefs and knowledge. And also prominently featured in some of the older mythology as far as the South Americans.
Well, he's also featured in Conan, the original.
Yes!
And then Conan cuts his head off and then throws it down the... Is he at a ziggurat or something like that?
Yeah, okay. So here's an interesting note I took. One of the first references of the lizard people was taken in 1929 for Michael Bark posits an origin story from Conan the Barbarian by Robert E. Howard. It was in a short story, The Serpent Men in the Shadow Kingdom, Weird Tales, in a issue Weird Tales in August of 1929. One of the first references of the modern day mythos of the lizard people. In that, they were depicting a shape-shifting humanoid that existed from the beginning of the Age of Man, that survived from the Age of Atlantis. Okay, so Howard may have been directly inspired by Helena Blavatsky's The Secret Doctrine, and that was written around 1988, and it was referenced as the Dragon Man. So there's always been some kind of a mythos, fictional or otherwise, depicted as far back as 1888.
Well, there's also dragons mentioned in mythology. People say, well, they're dragons, but they're basically lizards. Like Beowulf fought a dragon. No, he didn't fight a dragon. Yeah, he did fight a dragon. He lost. Trying to think of the Volsungs.
Yeah.
And that's both Swedish mythology. If you think about it, too, we've actually had giant dragon-like lizards walking around the planet, you know, like 64 million years ago.
Let's leave the Republicans out of this.
Yeah.
So, Okay, so getting to David Icke, who Coyote was just mentioned. Here's a direct quote. Thousands of years ago, the reptilian beings from the constellations Orion, Sirius, and Draco, or Drago, depends on which.
Drago.
Yeah.
Draco.
Yeah, which cosmology you're referencing, intervened on the planet Earth and began interbreeding with humans. Not physically, however, but rather through the manipulation of the human coding or DNA. Icke states that it is no coincidence that humans have fundamental reptilian genetics within their brain. And some people are actually, it's like one in a, I think, million, or it's a big astronomical number, but are actually born with a reptilian tail.
That's true. All of that's what he quoted was true. I mean, you take any biology course in college, you ask a professor that, he'll be like, yep, we have tail bones. We do have reptilian DNA. In our, I mean, we also share DNA with also chimpanzees and a number of other species on this planet as well.
Don't forget, human fetus is actually grown inside the egg at first.
That's true. And I was thinking, most people might be thinking, well, we have their DNA. No, in a sense, we do and we don't. We have the same combination of proteins strands in our body as those animals.
In a modern day descendant of a lizard is, oh, you could be your ordinary house cat.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't, if you take a good look at a cat's eyes and their tails and their way and their eating methods and hunting habits, yeah, they're not too strange to believe that, some, beings on this earth have actually formed from the reptilian race. Now, whether or not that is the direct manipulation of a intelligent humanoid-like reptilian, who knows?
Well, it's kind of strange, though, you think about it, 64 million years ago, how we go magically, how the heck do all these other descendant species from dinosaurs survive, but none that are resemblant of the any of the major species of dinosaur, like T-Rex, or somebody might say, yeah, birds are direct descendants. Well, how do we really know, how birds are direct descendants of raptors? Velociraptors, I mean, the same thing with cockroaches. How have they survived over 200 million years? I mean, nobody really questions it. My thing with David Icke, too, I was watching today, he wasn't really talking about lizard people, but what I found more fascinating is his own take on society, how he was out filming in a park, and these police came up to him and questioned him, why are you filming here? And he said, it's a public place. I can film wherever I want. And he's totally right. It's a public place. Why would a cop question him in their right mind unless we live in a police state? People don't want to believe it, but we kind of are. And then he points out to the fact that he was filming outside of the palace, and then there's a news crew waiting outside. And then it's an interesting terminology he used, that he called people, these certain people, they're repeaters. They repeat information. We, to a certain extent, we all do repeat information, but he's right. Like, And I say this all the time when I'm talking about doctors. I'm like, doctors repeat what they learn in the university. Then they repeat stuff the pharmaceuticals want them to push, I mean, 20 years ago, Vicodin was a huge thing. So, I mean, 20 years ago, you would find more doctors pushing Vicodin and Oxycontin. And without a question, not even batting an eyelash to it. And now more and more, they aren't pushing it as heavily because of the problems they've come across with it. And that's the thing that David Icke is putting out there, is people just become these repeaters, like the reporters are sitting outside Buckingham Palace, and then people tell them, people who aren't even the real royalty come out and say, this is what's happening. So that's like, how many people did it go through to get to that reporter? Then most of the time people are just like, oh, the reporter's telling the truth. He has to be. He's a reporter for this news station. And I'm not saying fake news, but technically, all news is technically, to an extent, not completely objective.
Yeah.
I mean, every single news network is not, nobody is purely objective.
Speaking of the news, someone reported the reptilians who are actually celebrities in disguise, hiding amongst the world figureheads to actually influence our decision making and control, like behind the scenes, the society norms of what's acceptable. Is so one of them being, and I kind of like love this one, Justin Bieber.
I believe it.
Okay, so in August of 2017,
and Kathy Lee Gifford.
Yeah. In August of 2015, Justin Bieber was doing a tour in Australia, and according to their one of their footages of a live interview of him, he supposedly got caught on camera doing a slight shifting of his eyelids that was not normal human blink.
Like he had a second set of eyes. I've seen quite a few of those on the internet. Like they have.
Some people chalk this up to ordinary video manipulation or some kind of just mistake of the
I was
digital
thinking
transfer.
Like a digital artifact maybe, but then sometimes you look at those and like I watched a video where a guy kept blinking repeatedly and I was like, if that was like a digital artifact, that couldn't be. It'd have to be a manipulation because it would happen every single time he blinked, not just the one time.
Yeah, so other purported celebrities that are part of the conspiracy, which I kind of love, is there's the entire royal family. Here, Queen Elizabeth is especially mentioned in some of these conspiracy websites. George W. Bush, Harry Kissinger, Bill and Harry Clinton, Bob Hope, and also Miley Cyrus. That's another one that they say that it got caught on tape.
I believe it.
So in one story, in which this kind of brought to my attention, which kind of got me excited, was a mention by Billy Corgan, who first told a story on Howard Stern's XM radio show. He discussed it back, I believe it was in 2017. You might have to research that a little bit to find out for sure. He said, not to add to the conspiracy, but I have had paranormal experiences in my life that sort of lend itself to the category. He further on stated, Stern prodded him for more details, and Billy Corgan continued to say, let's just say I was with somebody once, and they saw a transformation that I cannot explain. He went on to further say, Corgan stated, imagine you're doing something, suddenly you turn around and there's somebody else standing there. Stern said, different human? And Corgan said, sorta. It's hard to explain without going into detail. I would rather not go into details. So it kind of ended with Corgan's being very obtuse about who specifically it was. But interestingly enough, Corgan hinted that he was intimately acquainted with this otherworldly being. He said,
Marilyn Manson.
I will say, since we're on the radio, that this story is even more fantastical than you think. And Corgan said before insisting, and before he went to anything else, he said he would tell Stern off the air. And there was a somewhat of a slight conversation with them that was kind of partially caught on camera, with them talking in the corner without the headsets closed or nothing being recorded.
And you could read their lips, and he said, Marilyn Manson.
And then Billy Corgan actually went on Joe Rogan's podcast last year, I believe. No, it was actually this year, and I believe it was around March. I'm probably getting that wrong, but he got vaguely into it, and he did not want to really go into it at all.
He said it happened twice, though, too. And I find it like some people mark it as lizard, but he's talking more shapeshifter, huh? And then people say that the lizard people are shapeshifters. Now, David Icke, he really goes after and kind of says like they're like evil now to get us. And then to me, I'm like, I was doing research and I thought about it. You know, I grew up going to the Southwest a lot. You hear a lot of these stories about the lizard people.
Yeah.
And then that in some of the legends, they actually saved humanity by taking them underground, sheltering them from like a deadly meteor shower, a cataclysm of sorts.
Yeah, I remember going into that one with the Hopi legend of the Snake Brothers.
Yeah.
The long before conspiracy theorists stepped in, the Hopi Native Americans, and I'm directly quoting a source I got from the internet. Hopi never had a legend about an advanced civilization that once lived underground in the LA area. Now this is different from like the a long time ago. The Hopis had an expansive territory that just didn't include like parts of New Mexico.
It was huge.
Yeah, it was huge.
For people that don't know territory, what is it? Basically, back then, territories were huge for Native Americans. They weren't as small as they are today.
Yeah, that all changed after European rediscovery of America.
Yeah.
The Hopi called this population that lived in this area the Snake Brothers. And according to some, they were allegedly related to the Mayans, which coincides with some of the Mayan depictions. Yeah, of snakes, yeah.
Snake kings.
The Snake Brothers evolved into lizard people who were highly intelligent and, according to legend, escaped a meteor shower by using extremely advanced chemicals and technology to build an underground city that would shield them from natural disasters. And this here's another where it goes into mythology or modern urban legend about the underground caverns of LA, which is very interesting in itself. In an interview in 2010, Hopi Little Chief Greenleaf explained that the lizard people had been living in North America for centuries, perhaps even before the Sumerian civilization. And that's right about, I believe, about the time of the before the Babylonians, you know, who the Sumerians came from, they inherited their kingdoms from, which was established about 7,000 years ago. Greenleaf also explained that the underground shelters many treasure hunters were seeking and looking for were built to protect the population from meteor showers or firestorms, which would have been like natural disasters, you know, such as volcanoes and such.
Yeah,
so interesting. The underground catacombs of LA's lizard people. That legend is loosely drawn from the Hopi Indian story that was told by Chief Greenleaf. It was told to a geophysicist and mining engineer named George Warren Schufelt in 1933. As it turned out, Schufelt had invented what he called a radio X-ray machine, kind of like a Tesla-like invention.
Yeah.
That was able to see, like an underground radar that was able to see, large any structures that were built underground. So if you're looking for oil, this would be the perfect thing to take with you to, like Saudi Arabia. And he believed he could detect underground tunnels. So according to that promise of being able to do that, they were following some of the legends, and many treasure seekers were looking in the LA area during those years. It was a small excerpt that was actually printed in the LA newspapers around that time. And there was actually a movie based on it in 2011 called The Underground Lizard People. It was a small independent flick. Directed by Jared Cohen, and I have yet to see it, but I've actually heard it. I've heard about it. Yeah.
In the sense that it was made in L.A., it probably has real lizard people in it pretending to be humans.
Yeah, the film was directly inspired from the expedition from these people back in 1903 by George Warren Schufelt. The film was inspired by a news report from 1934, which spoke of a prehistoric race of lizard people dwelling in the old tunnels beneath the city of Los Angeles. The article claims that beneath the streets lies another city remembered only in obscure Native American legends, an underground world built by a strange race that vanished 5,000 years ago.
Maybe that's why they have all those earthquakes over that way. I mean, scientists speculate constantly on what's causing it. They can make models, but we don't really know what's at the center of the Earth.
And for God's sakes, you know, that would explain LA reason for existing in a nutshell, because why would anybody want to live in a hot, real hot desert?
Because they're all lizard people.
Yeah, which follows back to something we talked about in one of our earlier episodes, where we were talking about how maybe the mythos is also kind of based in our recognition of the sociopaths that run the world and are part of the human race. You know, they more or less identify with the reptilian part of their brain.
What if they're not reptilian, though? What if they're really gray aliens? I mean, I was going to go that far. Like, David Icke thinks they're reptiles. I mean, how would we really know? We'd have to go skin one to find out. And that's never going to happen.
My guess is that if you were going to find them, they would... Okay, first of all, they're not going to be in places where some of the Norwegian cultures would be
cold.
Yeah, places that are really cold, and they'd probably have agents that interact with the rest of the world.
So that means the Republicans aren't the lizard people; they're all in the cold states. That means the Democrats are the lizard people because they're in California.
Yeah, that would explain a lot. Hey, that would explain a lot. Yeah. I think they would probably have human intermediaries that would interact on their behalf and push their agenda for them. So they would not live in places like Siberia, Alaska, as south as Antarctica, unless they had some special suit that made them really warm. Don't forget though, most reptilian creatures are really cold-blooded. They would probably think slower in a colder climate, even if it was off by a few degrees.
They'd hibernate.
Yeah, or they would try to sleep a lot. There's a some David Icke's theories stipulate that they would be be identified by red hair, very green and blue eyes.
David Icke has green eyes.
Yeah. They would be very light skinned, and when they were describing that, I couldn't help but think of Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah, he looks exactly like one.
He's just two steps away from being Data from Star Trek.
Yeah. I thought you were talking about Justin the other day at work, because we were talking about him. Hey, he's always wearing a jacket. Even when it's hot out.
Yeah. So it would fit that they would probably not benefit themselves or try to benefit their agenda by being in small, unimportant positions. They'd probably want to establish themselves as some kind of important politician that wields some kind of society powers.
Well, it does really lend itself to help explaining the real manipulative police state we really live in, because you really can't, when you think about it, people are like, no, I'm free because I got a gun. Well, don't pay the taxes on your house, we'll see how free you are.
I don't know if you remember that, but there 2 years ago in 2017, do you remember that report right here in Washington over in Pierce County, where there was a guy who believed so much in the lizard people that he had a trunk full of guns and ammo, waiting. He said he got a phone call from Donald Trump to go help, have him go hunt for lizard people.
Really?
Yeah, it was just by chance that somebody gave a tip to the police, and the police stopped him before he actually hurt anyone.
I wonder if Donald Trump really called him.
Who knows? Hey, that a lot of people think Donald Trump is being hated on so much because he's an enemy to the secret societies that truly try to run the world, and he's there to help break it up because he's so rich, he doesn't need to listen to anybody, and he's got so much fame.
If you think about it too, he's not as rich as some of the other guys that have came into power. I mean, we just think that Warren Buffett, who's probably 3 or 4 times as rich as Trump, got Obama elected. Mark Zuckerberg is way richer than Trump.
By far.
Jeff Bezos is by far richer than all of them. That guy looks like a lizard, too.
Bill Gates.
Bill Gates is way richer than Trump. Like, if we, which was really weird when I think about it, it's like, people say, yeah, he's rich. He got himself elected with his rich. It's like, there's way more people with way more wealth who are on the Democratic side that could have got somebody else elected. So why did they let Trump get elected? Because that's basically what gets people elected is money. People be like, no, it's votes. Well, yeah, your votes is determined by how many times you watch Fox News and how what their anchors say or CNN or Wolf Blitzer.
How much airtime.
Yeah. And you know, I'm kind of like with Billy Corgan. I believe in the whole idea of free. There is an American dream, you know, and I was thinking about it. Something came across my screen the other day, and I thought about old political theory class back at Western, where we learned that government is something. Our original government had our founding fathers saw this idea. Government is something we should consent to, not a bunch of rich, powerful guys get together and say, this is how you're going to be. No, it's the actual people consent to that government. You know what I mean? And I think a lot of times people forgot that.
Yeah, that's right. I think a lot of times that we need to just probably wake up and get everybody around us to get excited about democracy again and vote. Vote our conscience. And, you know, even if you don't know the entire issue, you don't need to know much more than, you know how you feel about, you know, global warming and, you know, do you believe they actually exist or do you believe that it's a bunch of malarkey, you know, thought up to try to socialize, you know, American society? It doesn't matter. You know, vote your conscience.
Another one where, what was it? Was it Agenda 21 or what is that?
Yeah. We were going to do this subject probably on another future show, but
well, we could keep talking about it. There was a lady that was
Referendum 21, if I believe, by the United Nations.
She's talking about how they're trying to push people out of the countryside into big, large urban areas. If you think about it, we were just talking about technology on the few episodes ago, the last episode or one before, about that light rail that's going in Seattle. Now that makes perfect sense. Now, where they're getting more people into these smaller spaces and opening up the area and turning it into a police state, you'd be monitored 24/7. We're already doing it with our phones. We're doing it right now because we're doing a podcast via something digital, not analog. You're being monitored.
We're being
we are constantly, and people don't, they laugh about it, but it's like, it's true. This goes back to that David Icke video. He was talking to these cops. He's like, you guys, he's like, so in 20 years, when your kids wonder how you got here, and he was telling this to these cops, when they're trying to question him about being out in public, it's not illegal to do what he was doing, questioning him over what he was doing, which is really weird. And he made the really strong point, and I totally believe it's true. It's like these same people that are policing him now are the ones that who went along with it, who are turning it into a police state, not just in Britain, even in this country where people are like, you get a lot of people in all these jobs. I don't know. My boss told me to do it, so I'm doing it. You're consenting to do something necessarily immoral or just completely wrong against fellow human beings just because somebody told you to. So you have no moral bearing on moral conscience or anything. And especially in roles where people have to make decisions that affect other people's lives.
I was just watching something on Bing News where there was a cop down in, I believe, in San Bernardino, California. I'm probably butchering it, but it was a clip from a body cam of this cop who gets out of a car and opens fire on a 15-year-old boy who was, he shoots and kills a kid. And he unloads a whole clip. Then he tells him to stop what he's doing, get on the ground, freeze. And he doesn't realize, you know, his body cam was still going. And he kind of spaced out. And the family has turned around and sued him and is getting $2.1 million.
I think I saw something. I saw that on the internet today.
Yeah, so a lot of the normalization of violence in our country is becoming really is really kind of suspect whether it's being actually being forced on us as being something that we can expect, you know, to see
on a regular basis. Yeah.
And the desensitizing of the American public consciousness to accept violence as a norm is becoming like a psychological war for America's soul, to make us think that, you know, the methods that are currently used by some people that are probably not even public figures that are been elected to our government have actually been employing to try to get us to go along with the program of being able to just quietly go marching into the trains to their whatever camp that they has a nefarious name, you know. And this is hard, you know, I hate to be all conspiracy theory guy about it, but it's just looking at the news on an everyday basis, things are not well sometimes, you know, when you look at the way the state of country
is. It's not conspiracy theory. Nero burned Rome for his own purposes and blamed it on everybody else. The Nazis burned down their own capital and blamed it on the terrorists. If you actually listen to where my reasoning is actually going, if you know history well enough, something is just not right. It doesn't sit well with me, and people who actually see this, it shouldn't sit well with them either. I get it. They have their causes and goals, and I don't think ultimately violence should be a cause or a goal or something to be like, yeah. I mean, I get playing games sometimes, and when you beat them, you win on the video game. But I don't think kids should turn around and turn that to something just really crazy and almost religious like these active shooters are doing. And I thought of something more and more when I started thinking about that lady. And these are all separate people. That lady, she was talking about the UN, what they're doing in California, how they're stopping people from building on rural land, and they're focusing, you know, only giving them permits to build in like the actual large urban areas. And it was more and more how she said how they're going to roll this out more and more to get people to only live in these large urban areas, which is really weird. And now I start to think about it, and now you start seeing all these, you know, this violence going on, and they're all happening in large packed populated areas, and it's always like one person doing it. It's really weird that this is happening over and over again, and nobody questions it. They just say, oh, it's a pathology, this just happens, you're copycat, la 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 la. Well, it's something deeper. That's a deeper signal that something really, really wrong is going on, and people shouldn't be like, well, that's just how it is, you know. And then when people say, well, that's just how it is, and at that point I realize they got them. They got you when you were at to the point where that's just how it is.
When you
they got you.
When you dehumanize a people, it's easier on your conscience to let it happen. I mean, the German government knew that back when they let the Nazis run their programs of, you know, systematic genocide, you know, persecution of a population they didn't like, the Jews. You know, they kinned them to rodents, and which is, you know, and they depicted them in films as being something that was to be rid of, you know, that to make their society clean and whole again, you know. And I hate to say this, but to a degree, our current administration is not helping, you know, this, you know, when he keeps, you know, saying that they're rapists and they're criminals, and hey, we need to send them, you know, we need to send them packing. And he's, you know, I don't want to say that, you know, that's the guy's agenda, but you know,
very blatant about his agenda. It's actually a real scary agenda if you actually think about it. But what's even scarier is why these people who have probably 100 times more wealth than he does, and they're Democrat, aren't using their wealth against him. And they can. They completely can. You know, run. They're not linked in any way, affiliated to the government anyhow. They could run anti-ad campaigns if they wanted to, or anti, you know what I'm saying, to get people to think differently, but they're not, which is even scary to think, why are they not? And people should actually question, why are they not? Too many people sit here and think all these politicians have their best interest in mind, when they really do not.
Yeah. I think a lot of our, you know, depictions of, you know, how we view each other in America today, we're so cut off from each other. And it seems like, you know, the technology is driving that wedge between your neighbor and your local government. You know, a lot of people, I bet you could go to any kid in high school and they probably couldn't tell you who the mayor of their town was. You know, I remember, you know, a time when that was something that was discussed in class, you know, about, you know, yeah. So, you know, small town politics. Now you can't even, they can tell you who, you know, Rihanna's hairdresser is, you know, and who made their dress, but
they can't tell you who the mayor is.
Yeah, of their own local town.
What's weird about, too, about where we live in the valley on the res, I bet you more people can name who the chairman is of the tribe than their own towns. And like, seriously, like, the tribe is more public than the townships are, if you think about it. Like the city of Toppenish or the city of Wapto. Since you mentioned it, I just thought about it. I was like, well, except for that whole Juan Orozco thing, that's because he was in the newspaper for that. But I mean, like, I bet you more people know who their elected officials are with the tribe than people know in Toppenish. Because I'll tell you what, I remember going to this council meeting one time here, and I was like, they introduced this guy, and he looked like the Michelin Man, and I was just thinking, that's the town mayor? I was like, I have nothing against the Michelin Man, but, you know. And I say inappropriate things sometimes, so I'm not going to speak in your meeting, so. But it's just kind of weird that local government is like that. I mean, and I'm not saying that the tribe is like that. I was saying, like, these other townships are more closed off than even a government that is supposed to be closed off. Not really closed off, but, you know, not as public as they are.
It's a weird time in America.
But they also have their own newspaper, too. So, I mean, the tribe has their newspaper, right? So
it's a weird time in America. You know, some people, some of our listeners out there who are, you know, in other parts of the world, it's like the battle lines have been drawn, you know, across, you know, culture, language, you know, nationality, your status as an American citizen.
Yeah.
You know, what have you done lately to support, you know, the American government? It's becoming a question that's becoming like more and more common, you know, and it seems like every day we get closer to election time, it's like your patriotism is being measured, you know, but, you know, constantly, you know.
And do you support the war on terror? Like, well, did you guys support the massacre that occurred here on Native lands? I mean, hundreds of years ago. I mean, on every single Native land. And it's not the Natives doing it. It's the non-Natives. All these miners that came up this way during the gold rush, what they did to the people in this area.
I was looking into this Agenda 21 issue we were talking about. It was from a UN meeting, UN Council meeting that was set forth in 1994, and it was drew an outline of how they were going to start figuring out a plans for local and national governments to start implementing a way to control populations, so that way they could better manage resources all over the world, because they were recognizing that. And by 2060, a lot of the resources of the earth are starting to going to be more more finite. They're going to be more precious. Fresh water, clean air, you know, from the pollution from cities.
That fast food you city folk like.
Yeah, food is going to become at a premium.
I think people take it for granted, too. Like, people that live in large urban areas and they've never been around a farmland or... like in the area we live, they totally take it for granted. I mean,
if you can imagine it this way, can you imagine a society that's starting to recognize that it might have difficulty in starting to get everybody to eat less, you know, breed less, you know, breathe even less, you know, and try to not consume as much as they normally would, you know, so they could start saving a little more for the elite, you know, the those in power, and try to keep the population, part of the population alive that the government would like to see survive. And it's kind of scary, but that was what you could almost read the underlying tone is that they don't, this is something that they don't want to do, but they may, they fear they may have to implement this as a necessity to, for the survival of most countries and governments.
And normal people, regardless if the leaders are lizard people or not, the elite never have our best interest in mind.
No.
Like, when I look at how... when I look at just how raw milk is regulated, how people treat people who want to drink, I mean, man, you could probably go slang some crack and get away with that better than you could getting, you know, getting drinking raw milk. You'd probably get in prison for drinking raw milk. You know, the cops will just let you go in the compound if you're slinging crack. You know, seriously, you know what I mean? That's just like, it's really backwards how it's like the whole deal is run, and you would think about it. And I think, and I used to be a guy that I... be like, why we want more regulation to have safe this, safe that. And if you think about all that E. coli outbreak happening in Salinas, that's because it's happening in large factories, not singular little owned farms. If it was a singular farm and it was small, you could just trust it easily more that it was isolated a lot better, versus a giant factory, they're not going to be able to isolate it a lot better, which is really weird. And I think it's just all method of control, more regulation. Do I think it's lizard people? Maybe it's the grays. Maybe it's the human. Maybe the lizard people, like in these Hopi stories, are going to have to save us from ourselves.
One of the scariest things about some of these scenarios where they say they think the lizard people are slowly making their moves, you know, and just... Agenda 21-ish, you know, initiative is going to be a part of their grand scheme, overall, you know, Act 3, take over the world plan, is that, you know, they're slowly going to start rounding us up to, you know, to what? Eat us?
They're going to make McNuggets out of us.
exterminate us? Breed us?
What do lizards eat?
Yeah.
Meat.
They don't eat exactly known for eating, being vegetarians or eating fruits and vegetables. You know, we're, humans are omnivores, most reptilians, for the most part, I've yet to see a documentary yet to see a lizard eat some kind of fruit that grows on a tree. They eat insects and little small mammals. So it's kind of scary to think that, you know, what are they going to be in the market for? You know, if one's about 6 feet tall,
we'll be like that little mouse in a, what was that, Road Trip, and then Tom Green's yelling, "Mitch, unleash the fury."
Yeah. So, you know, some of the more scarier scenarios involves some of these the people that claim to have been abducted by reptilioids, is that they actually have a war behind the scenes with other star societies such as the Greys, and but they can't exactly have an open warfare on the face of the earth against the Greys, because that would break into some kind of interstellar law that the government, you know, a higher government would step in and stop them both.
Is that the theory where the guy was also talking about, where he it wasn't a theory, is this guy, he wrote some books, I forget his name, it sounds crazy though, and he said he was, I guess it's the same thing David Icke was talking about, he was contacted telepathically,
and Alex Jones.
And there was Alex Jones contacted telepathically?
No, he says some of these beings that we think of as aliens, they're otherworldly. They're not from another planet. They're from another dimension.
Oh, they're interdimensional beings.
Yeah, they're actually having a war, and they are using politics and economics to fight a secret war against each other in most societies on Earth through different governments. You know, they prominently are pitting us against each other, so we don't take them as a threat seriously.
So they're like playing a fancy game of chess, and we're all their pieces.
Yeah, the end goal being is that they want to extract all our natural resources without having to fire a shot, and buy us wholeheartedly and not worry about us as a planet. Man, think of it as like we're the Indian village, you know, and I'm talking about our planet as a, you know, down in South America, and some oil corporation moves in, and the second largest oil corporation of the world also wants a piece of something that they found on your land, and they're not allowed by the local government to go out there and exterminate you and outright take what you got. But they got it, so they started pitting the elders of the tribe against each other, and they make
it. They give you a Salazar settlement. That's what they do. Yeah. They give you a Salazar settlement, and then they.
Yeah, they sit back and watch how the pieces fall, and you are basically gonna do it to yourself, so that way, their fingerprints are not at the crime scene. So that way you are doing your job for them. You make yourself the victim and the murderer, and you are going to be the one paying, getting out of the way for them willingly.
Maybe this goes back to that movie Signs when he was talking about this, which is really crazy. People be like, oh, he's mentioning movies, but whatever, we get our ideas from stories and whatever else. But how the little boy in there is talking, why would they fight? Why would they go and use weapons and destroy the resources? Well, we're already doing it for them. I mean, we're already doing it for ourselves using weapons and things like that. But it's just kind of weird that maybe the aliens don't know how to fight. We could fight them if we could. We could actually defeat them. That's why they're using manipulative tactics instead, the only way they know how to do it. And if they realize that, hey, these guys turn their eyeballs to us and all humanity gets pissed off, humanity could take us out. And I think if the truth of the matter is that it is a species that's only good at manipulation and not really fighting, physically fighting, then we probably would win. And I think people should look at that as the up and up, like as a plus.
Yeah, there was one theory I heard about in this book called The Day After Roswell, where the Arthur he was a ghostwriter to this colonel who worked on the secret programs at Area 51, said that one of the mainstays of our government, and the reason why we have so many nukes, is that they said that yes, the aliens can neutralize our nuclear weapons, but they can't do them all. They can't do them all at one time. They can stop the missiles from flying, but they said one of the reasons why we have so many is that way, in case we were ever invaded, we could use that as a deterrent to destroy the planet and irradiate it and make it useless for them. So that's why they don't ever like have a full-on invasion coming here to wipe us all out. You know, so that way if there is, and this was an agreement to between us and the Russians to keep the Cold War up, you know, behind the scenes handshakes to say, yes, we're going to rattle our sabers at each other, but that's all for show. We're actually in this together.
Because if they told everybody what was going on, people would be like, you guys are just crazy.
People would flip
out. It makes sense. All the UFO sightings that happened over military bases, if anybody pays attention to that, how many of those sightings are accompanied by all the nukes being deactivated?
Mm-hmm. And they say that's the reason why Russia had so many underground tests, was to get rid of some of these caverns that are, the aliens had built, you know, in remote places. And that's the reason why so many astronomical bodies had fell into northern Siberia. You know,
with like that loud,
the Kunkursk blast
that took out like a whole forest, basically, and like leveled it.
Uh huh. Yeah. There's a lot of theories on what's going on, and supposedly the reptilians are a part of it, and they've been engineering human society to kind of fight some of their battles for them behind the scenes.
Maybe like the Astartes and what is it, Warhammer?
Yeah.
Did you read up or actually watch anything on the Allies of Humanity? I heard about this one a while ago. That's what I was thinking, how like David Icke got contacted telepathically. But there's another guy who got contacted telepathically who said there's these alien races. I think it was the lizard people and the greys, or maybe, I don't know, the shorties or whatever they want to call them. Whatever you call them, the two alien races, they don't have our best interest in mind, but for some reason this other group called the Allies of Humanity apparently do. And I was like, well, how much do you trust this other entity that calls itself Allies of Humanity? That just sounds kind of fishy to me. Suspect.
There's also a theory that and it goes out back to Native American mythology and folklore, that the lizard people are not enemies of all human beings. Some of them feature in some Native American stories. Such as an example, here's something I pulled off a website. Said lizards play positive roles for many folklore of Native American tribes. In the Plains Indian tribes, and lizards are associated with healing and survival, and also with masculinity. In some Plains tribes, a newborn boy's umbilical cord was sewn into an amulet in the shape of a lizard to ensure his health and strength. And this is true. Some of the Cree tribe, they actually still practice this belief. They actually will sell a pouch, that's a beaded pouch with a lizard depicted on it in the shape of a lizard, and that's what it's for. A lot of people don't know that today. Some people, like the Cheyenne, consider it bad luck to kill a lizard. In the mythology of some California Indian tribes, such as the Pomo, lizard was the major figure of creation, who made humans partially in his image. You know, interesting how, you know, that falls back to in reference to the Hopi legends. And the southwestern tribes, horned lizards, sometimes are called horny toads in English, are considered sacred medicine animals. The Gila monster, it's a type of large poisonous desert lizard, features as a powerful hero in Navajo and other southwestern legends. And this is true, like a messenger, a trickster, such as, you know, the coyote.
I was thinking too, like, how does, like, so if these were real beings, what about Spider Woman? Like, I was thinking about that earlier. I mean, I gotta, you know, do some thought experiments. And if people don't know what thought experiments are, it's when you go from like 0 to 1,000 inside your own brain.
Yeah, some cultures around the world share these same beliefs, where they'll put a reptilian or a lizard-like figure to a godlike role, or a kind of like a messenger for their from the celestial beings to their culture. Some of them feature some in Chinese, in South American especially. But not especially, you know, so they also exist in, like, some in Cambodia, you know, like the Burmese snake is worshipped as, like, a type of god.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a South American tribe that worships one of the giant anaconda, and they believe that it is a god that is able to walk the earth. You know, my mother... Who I just talked to last night about the subject we were telling her we're going to do this show. She told me a Yakima legend about a giant snake that is able to roll itself like in a giant ball that goes between the, Franklin and as far as the southwestern hills of the Snake Hills.
Really?
Right here in by Rattlesnake Ridge, you know, in the south part of Toppenish. Yeah, she told me this story.
So it rolls itself in a ball.
Yeah, and it's giant. And and I remember my brother was telling me that there was some kind of a creature like that made its appearance in 2014 in Rocky Boy. He said that there was some kind of a creature that there was all car all points bulletin amongst the tribal police of a creature that was rolling itself into a ball, going that was actually able to somehow leverage itself over on top of roofs, and it was rolling all over the place. And
have you seen those old Mayan hieroglyphs where it's a snake in a giant circle, but then there's like a guy in the middle of it, and it's like he's riding around on it, like it's a ball.
Yeah, baby. I have a belief in that. There's some truth to some of the legends and what they call myths, for some of these stories around the world. There's got to be some truth to it somehow. How is it that you're able to, get dragons in every continent, and in some kind of depiction in primitive societies, and they all have like this depiction of them being some kind of destroyer, such as the one of the snake gods in Norse mythology, where he was going to come back around and he was going to help bring about Ragnarok.
Yeah,
I forgot the legend, but it was.
If I was a Jungian analyst, I'd probably say there is truth to it. No, there is truth to it. Every mythology on this planet, there has some level of truth. And I don't think it's always, because I was thinking earlier today, it's probably not as pretty as we think, or glamorous as we'd like to think, or magical. It's probably more practical, but our senses cannot pick it up.
So take for example, the Gorgons in Greek mythology. There were sisters who had serpents for hair. Boreas, he was Aquilian to the Romans, the Greek god of the cold north wind, described by Pausanias as a winged man, sometimes with serpents instead of feet. The dragon kings that feature in Chinese mythology, sometimes depicted as reptilian humanoids. So, interesting.
Snake kings in Mayan mythology.
Yeah, some jinn in Islamic mythology are described as alternating between human and serpentine forms. And let's not forget one of the most prominent mythos of a serpent is easily drawn from the Genesis creation narrative, occasionally depicted with legs and sometimes identified as being Satan. Throughout its reputations has been both female and male. And some people, I don't know if you knew this, but some reptiles have the ability to change their sex as needed.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that way they could propagate their species.
There's one that's, I forget which desert it lives in. It's able to clone itself. I don't know if it's died out yet, but that's the only way it's reproduced is just by cloning itself. And it's done it over and over and over again. And there's no way for it to increase its gene pool or to decrease it at all. So it's just really weird.
Yeah,
they can really manipulate DNA really weird, which would actually explain a lot of shape shifting.
Yeah, there's these figures. If they actually were some kind of a reptilian, maybe there were some kind of a offshoot of humanity that evolved from, they evolved in a different direction from, instead of going some kind of humanoid figure that came from an ape, maybe they came from some kind of a reptile common ancestor that we had at one time. And that is true, because there, all mammals had came from a reptile or a lizard at some point.
T-Rex.
Yeah. And in some psychology terminology, they referenced the reptilian part of our brain because it has a somewhat the same shape and
the primitive structure. The primitive brain.
Yeah, the same structure as some lizards. I can't exactly quote where I got that from. I just remember reading it in one of my favorite books.
It's a story, your personal knowledge.
Mm-hmm. By Jeff Lindsay, who wrote Dexter. He references the reptile part of the brain a lot in his books. Yeah, he says that's what was able to make his character so cold-blooded and able to easily separate himself from the violence he was committing. You know, so, you know, which if you look at how the way reptiles hunt, you know, and they stalk their prey, it's really cold, calculated, and ruthless in the way they take their prey out. Not to say the wolves are any different.
Dogs can be stupid, though. I mean, like, you know.
But I think our negative aspects of lizards just comes from our limited understanding and viewing of them. You know, if you had one, you know, some people have them as pets, and they swear that the lizard that they keep actually have feelings, and they actually have a small personality of their own.
And the lizard sits there on their couch, watches them, and they watch the lizard.
Yeah.
Or maybe the lizard's looking at him and sees the giant chicken nugget.
And waiting for you to expire so yeah. that he can start munching at you.
Probably what it would do is if you expired, it'd probably take a munch out of you.
Yeah. You know, let's not forget that there are some benefits to reptilians, reptoids of the world. They do keep their mice population down. So you can't go out and have a bash a snake day like they used to in Ireland.
Nice.
Yeah. You know, that actually is true. They actually had a yearly celebration where they would hunt every snake.
Now, did the Catholics come up with that, or the Protestants, or were they, or is that cause of the war?
No, it was I can't remember the exact story, but they said there was a saint who chased all the snakes off the island, and a lot of people chalk it up to a druid belief in having a day to go out to. Kill as many snakes as they could.
Snake jerky.
Yeah, so Ireland does not have a whole lot of natural reptilians anymore, and that would probably explain why they had such a hard, they have such a rat problem sometimes.
So we're getting to a close, and if you were thinking one more thing, what would you like to say about this subject matter, because we're going to probably come back to it again, I think. This is a huge subject. I mean, we've scratched the surface of some of these things. I would just say, stay safe and watch the eyes. And if they're wearing lots of clothes and it's really hot out, beware.
I'd like to leave off with something I was going to quote from a author named Philip Bump. Hit how to spot the reptilians running the U.S. government. You're going to find this interesting. This guide provides a helpful summary of common characteristics of how you would spot a reptilian that is within U.S. politics. They have low blood pressure, random scars, a great love for space and science, an eye color of green, hazel, or blue, and sometimes have reddish brown hair. So leave you off with that thought, so maybe next time when you vote, you keep that in mind, I'd like to sign off by saying thank you to my mother for Karen Whitford, who gave me some of the inspiration for some of this show, and the way I was going to depict Native American part story in it, and give it the respect that for the storytelling that she had told me last night.
The Native Americans part too is, I'll just say this last part, is more positive than the David Icke part. So
yeah, I can't say we're like that. You know, the Native American today wasn't the Native American of 100 years ago that was living in harmony with their surroundings. So we'll leave you off with the thought that, maybe as a human race, maybe we should try to find a way to coexist with the rest of the universe. And
with each other, too.
Yeah, and maybe lease out a spot on the Earth so that they could mine the hell out of it and give the rest of us, as a humanity, a per cap that we all can enjoy.
Yes.
Yes. Your standard $100 galactic credit comes to you every month.
Which is like $1,000.
Yeah. Yeah. Get that iPod.
Well, have a good night, folks.
Good night.